This is the eighth lesson in this series. And if you didn't remember the topic, I think it has something to do with influence. We've had seven previous with Chandler and Chris Savage, Adam, Sean Tipton, Jason, Stephen, Eric, all discussing the issue of Christian influence, each giving it a little bit of a different perspective. We're following a series by Wendell Winkler, The Christian and His Influence, and as I evaluated the lesson that I have, I kind of wondered about what had been previously stated and a little bit about how in the world I would present Christian influence in some way that would be different, first or second speaker noted that he was getting tired of even reading the word influence because we talked about it a lot in the lesson, a lot in the presentation, and I get to discuss Christian and his influence in the local church. I wondered about the word Christian, however. I know Wendell Winkler probably has something in mind when he's talking about Christian. What do you think that, what does Christian mean to you? And I'm not going to preach, I'm going to try and teach, so I'll facilitate this discussion. What does Christian mean to you? How would you define it if you had to define it? Christian, what is it? Follower of Christ, okay. Follower of Christ. I'm sorry? One who's obeyed the gospel. Saved. Don't a number of people today call themselves Christians? Don't a lot of people today call themselves Christians? The answer is yes. You can say it, that's okay. Yes, a lot of people today call themselves Christians. Actually, the term Christian kind of was, by definition, early on, was just a difference between someone who followed Christ and what was the other? Jew, okay. I'm not going to answer all the questions. I'm only going to answer these first ones. They're not tough. They were Greek or Gentile. And Jews, Christians and Jews. Even today, many people call themselves Christians. And if we're talking about a Christian influence, do all Christians provide the proper influence? True Christians are people who call themselves Christians? No, I'm not going to answer all these questions. No, thank you, Donna. You're going to answer the questions. You guys are smarter than I am. Together we can come up with a lot of good answers. Do we follow all Christians? Do all Christians have an influence? Yes. All Christians. They all have an influence. Okay, they all have an influence. Christianity, I like the term Christ-like. When I think of Christian, I think of Christ-like. And to me, that separates a lot of Christians from a lot of other Christians. You can make that determination. They may call themselves Christians, but you can make that determination just by saying, are they Christ-like? And in many cases, you can say, no. They may go to a church which says it's a Christian church, but if they're not Christ-like, they're not Christians. And that can go for those that attend churches of Christ as well. If you're not Christ-like, I'm not quite sure that you would be a Christian. So those that are Christians, who does that include? Who's included in the word Christian? Okay, baptized believers. So we can narrow the term, can we not? We can narrow the term Christian. If it's Christ-like, we know that in order to be a Christian, you're following the words of Christ. Definition, this is dictionary, of relating to or derived from Jesus Christ or his teachings, of pertaining to, believing in, or belonging to the religion based upon the teachings of Christ. Belonging to the religion based upon the teachings of Christ. Well, we know that the dictionary provides definition for general use, but probably not as specific as we would like. This definition to me is not as specific as I would like. Belonging to the religion based upon the teachings of Christ. How many religions are based upon the teachings of Christ? Well, we can say one, right? We know that's true. But in the world today, can we say many? Many may profess that they're based upon the teachings of Christ, and they might be some of the teachings of Christ. I think most religions that are based upon the teachings of Christ certainly try and include something that is based upon the teachings of Christ. Yes.
In Matthew 7, many will say to them, "Hey, Lord, Lord, did not do these things in thy name."
Yes.
So they were followers. They thought they were followers of Christ.
Yes.
They thought they were subjecting to his authority. But he tells them, "Depart, I never knew."
Right. Yeah. Many are saying, "I'm a follower of Christ. I do what Christ wants me to do based upon Scripture." And we know that they're really not doing that. They may have an interest, but they're not specifically a Christian as we would know it. This series, The Christian and His Influence, are we eliminating women here? Do the women get a pass? What other terminology could be used by Wendell, Christian and his influence? Their influence? Or his/her? I don't know. What would be politically correct today? Christian and their influence? Probably. When we see terms like this, masculine, we see them in Scripture quite a bit. Is it specific to men only? Mankind. When we normally see terms like this, especially in Scripture, using the masculine, we're talking about mankind. The Christian, as men and women, mankind, and influence. We've talked about influence a lot in the last 7 weeks, and now this eighth week, influence. But we really didn't have a definition. What in the world is influence? The dictionary thinks it's the capacity or power of persons or things to be compelling force or produce effects on the actions, behavior, opinions of others, the action or process of producing effects on the actions, behavior, opinions, etc., of another or others. Influence. I tried to read this lesson and the previous lessons substituting the word influence with effect, because if we expect to have some influence, then we should expect to have some effect. And if there is no effect, is there influence? If a Christian is to have some influence, in my case this evening in the local church and in previously on the job or in the community or elsewhere, if a Christian is to influence or have some effect on others, what would that require? The other person's response is what, Randy?
Require them to respond in some way.
Okay. Require them to respond in some way or another. Is it possible that influence can be negative? Sure. Is it possible that influence can be positive? So a Christian can have an effect on someone in a positive way, and someone who's a Christian can have some influence or effect in a negative way. Troy? It can be delayed, yes, we know that. We may teach several people, many people, one person, and think that we really have had no influence on them whatsoever because we did not see any effect. But we also know that the effect may be delayed. It's a possibility that what you do today, what influence you may have today on others, on someone, may not be seen for months, years, tens of years. So influence certainly can be delayed. It can be postponed. Four preachers were discussing the merits of various translations of the Bible. One liked the King James Version because it's simple, beautiful English language. Another preferred the American Standard Version because it is more literal and comes nearer the original Hebrew and Greek. Still another favored the King James Version because of its up-to-date vocabulary. When the fourth preacher was asked his opinion, he replied, "I like my mother's translation best." The other three were a little puzzled. They were unaware that his mother had translated the Bible. "Yes, she did," he stated. "She translated the Bible into life. She lived what she read, and hers was the most convincing translation I ever saw." Think about your own life. Who's had the most effect on you? Not just yesterday, but 10 years ago, or 20 or 50, Nita's case, 100. Who had the most effect? Oh, and Anita told me when they get up and leave, I'm done. Who had the most effect on you as a child, growing up, as an adult, teenager? Let's start when we were young. Who has the most effect on us when we're young? Generally, your mother and your father, right? Whether they're biological mother and father, whether you're adopted mother and father, generally, the people that have the most effect on you when you're young are your mother and your father. How about later on in life? How about teenager? Okay, peers certainly have a strong effect on an individual, no doubt about it, especially the teen years, when teenagers are very susceptible to trying to determine in some way what they should be doing, how they should be doing it, why they're doing what they're doing. Peers have a strong effect. Is that always a positive effect? How about for a Christian teenager? Is that a positive effect? Troy? That's true. The only thing dumber than one teenage boy is two. Yep. Or a carload. So when we're young, we're on the most effect that someone has on us would come from mother and father, later on in our teenage years, it can be peers. That's a very strong effect. I know when I was younger, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, those preteen years, I had a coach that in baseball and football, growing up in Denver playing Young America League baseball and football, and I had a coach that had that did have an effect on me, a positive effect, and I'll never forget him. I remember Clyde Langley to this day in what he did and what he taught me when I was old enough to actually respect someone who was trying to teach a kid anything. And he had a profound effect on my life, and it was a positive effect. I don't know that he was a Christian, but what he was able to teach through coaching had an effect, I believe, a positive effect on my life. But not everybody is lucky enough to have someone like that that is able to provide an influence on them that is positive. Most of the influence we find in preteens and teenagers is generally negative because it doesn't come from the Christian environment. How about midlife? Who has the most influence or effect on you in the middle of your life? I'm going to claim we're all there. Even Anita's midlife, she's got a few more years left. I've got a few more years left, hopefully. Who has, I'm sorry?
Spouse,
okay. Well, there are some that don't have spouses, but yeah, definitely. If you've decided that you're going to get married, the other half of that marriage is going to have an effect on you. Can that be positive or negative? Certainly, yes, we know that it can be. You can marry someone that will definitely give you the correct effect, the correct influence that you need in your Christian walk. You can also have a spouse that certainly does not do that. How about now? Who has the most influence, who has the most effect on you right now in your life? Huh? Your adult children. Okay, Stan, yes. Your adult children can have an effect on you now. Anyone else?
Your young children can too.
Young children, okay.
They say if you don't like the way your children act, you're just basically looking in the mirror. They're going to do it. They're going to do the same actions you're doing.
Okay, I'm going to ignore that one. I don't know. Okay.
I would be so bold as to say that whoever you let
Whoever you let influence you has an effect on you. Yeah, okay. If you leave that door open,
you surround yourself with the people you have chosen to be influenced by.
Okay.
Take right path, but it is a choice that we make.
Okay, so you're saying that influence and the effect that someone may have on you is a choice that you make. You all agree with that? You're known by the friends you keep, okay? That certainly would be true today. Effect on fellow Christians. What kind of an effect do you have on fellow Christians? If you think about what you do and how you do it and why you do it, do you think what you do personally has a positive or maybe negative effect on fellow Christians? It certainly can. And I think that's why we really need to be careful about what we do, what we say, where we go, how we conduct our lives when we think we're not being seen. Eric.
Careful.
I didn't read James 1, so I'm going to leave that out. I think I scratched through that on my Bible. Yeah, that's true. And I'll have to be careful what I say because Eric is out to get me. But wait until he sees my word cloud later on. Oh, put him to shame. Okay. I think most of us would agree with that, Cindy, that's exactly, if we look at today, most of the effect that people have upon us as individuals are those members of the congregation. That's why we're here. That's why we're here on Sunday. That's why we gather every opportunity that we can with one another, because, as stated, we want to be surrounded by people who are going to provide a positive effect on us. Do we need that? Do we need a positive effect? Do we need it daily? Yes. And hopefully our spouse will provide that. Something that is needed daily, certainly needed weekly. God knew that we would need that weekly. He established in his plan that we will assemble on the first day of the week. Why? Just because he wanted us to worship him and that was it? What? I'm sorry? Fellowship, certainly. Many things come from a positive assembly of like-minded individuals that are above and beyond the purpose of assembly. And that fellowship is one of them. God knew that. What a way to start the week. An excellent way to start the week. The influence, the positive effect we have with one another, without a doubt. How about an effect of those who might have taught you in Bible class? Can that effect be positive? Can that effect be negative? We're fortunate that we have excellent teachers in this congregation teaching the youth. We're also excellent. Have an excellent teacher from the pulpit. And certainly, I know on the first day of the week and every opportunity that others have in teaching that's a positive effect on me. That's a positive influence. Something that I need weekly, that I need daily, and it certainly is provided by this congregation. Looking at a congregation in general, what effect do the elders have on a congregation?
Tremendous.
Okay.
For good or for ill.
Okay. For good or for bad. Tremendous impact and influence and effect on a congregation. Now, if we say that it's for good, we would know those elders and what they teach, why they teach what they teach. We know what they're attempting to do with the congregation. Are there any churches of Christ that we would say were negatively influenced by an eldership? Do we know any? Unfortunately, in this day and age, I think all of us know of several, at least one, maybe more, several congregations that have been influenced by their eldership, tremendously influenced by their eldership, in a negative manner. How do we know that?
The fruit.
The what?
The fruit that is born in the congregation.
The fruit. All right, the fruit, well, yep. Yeah. The fruit of the congregation. Any other synonyms? How do we know that the elders have had a negative influence on some churches of Christ? No, go ahead. Say that again, Max. Oh, reconciling, trying to reconcile what they do to the gospel. Okay.
I just said their practices, so if they allow something to come in that's not scriptural, you know, that may not have been a decision that all members agreed upon and the elders allowed.
All right. Doing something that we don't find in Scripture. If that happens, who's to blame? Well, I'm going to blame the elders first. If their charge is to assure that the word is kept. That's what elders do. Their influence, their effect is to assure the word is kept. And the congregation needs to know whether that word is kept or not. So the influence we have on one another, the effect we have on one another, is whether we know the word, we teach the word, we live the word, we breathe the word, we act the word, we do everything that we can within our power to assure our influence of others is following the word. The elders have to make sure that there are no wolves in sheep's clothing that enter this congregation and begin to change it, pull it in some way or another. And we, as members of the congregation, also have to be aware of that as well, to guard the word. Who probably has the most influence in the world today? Who has the most effect in the world today?
Satan.
Yes, I mean Satan. Unfortunately, the most influence that we find in the world today is a negative influence. It's Satan. What does Satan want to do? He certainly doesn't want us to be assembled here, does he? If Satan is going to do his job and he's going to do it the best that he can, who do you think Satan is going to choose to try and influence? Those of you sitting here this evening, Christians, why doesn't he worry about everybody else? He's already got them. He doesn't care about them. He's already got them. He's already influenced them in such a way that he does not have to concern himself with most of the world today because it's already taken care of itself. They've already decided they're not going to follow Christ. They're not going to follow the word. They're going to do what they want to do. And even those who profess that they're going to follow the word don't. And they don't because it's not convenient. Satan has the most influence in the world today, without a doubt. And if he had his way, he'd be changing our perspective, our influence, and the effect we have on one another, and we have to guard ourselves specifically against that. Is ignorance a form of influence? Can we be influenced by ignorance? Those that are lost in the world today, are they lost because they've really been influenced by Satan directly in some way or another? Would they have to recognize that in order to change their direction, their attitude?
You have to notice him before you repent of it.
All right.
Yes.
If you don't know you're doing something wrong, you probably won't change your habits, your attitude, your perspective. those that are lost in the world today probably are ignorant more than anything else. They don't know that they really need to change. Some of them probably don't know they have a soul or will admit it. They don't care whether they have a soul or not. It doesn't matter to them whether they have a soul or not. And if it just doesn't matter, you'll see no influence that is positive, that will change their life in any way whatsoever. If Satan already has them in their pocket, then certainly the influence that we may attempt, the effect we may attempt in their lives, is just that much more difficult. But we know we don't give up. I watched him walk in the way of life with heart and head held high. It always seemed my load grew lighter whenever he passed by. I patterned everything I did by what I saw him do, that he loved God, and I could not doubt because his life was true. I often wished that more like his my way of life might be. Imagine my surprise to find that he'd been watching me. Let's look at Romans 14:7. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. If no one lives to himself and no one dies to himself, what is this verse trying to tell us?
It's not about us.
It's not about us. That's right. It's not about us. We don't live to ourselves. We don't die to ourselves. It's not about us. So if it's not about us, then who is it about? Got to be about everybody else. Romans 14:12. So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. It's not about us, but what's going to happen at some point in time? We're going to have to give an account of everything that we have done, tried to do, wanted to do, didn't do, should have done. Boy, thinking about that's frightening. Each of us shall give an account of himself to God. That would indicate to me that the influence that we may have among ourselves, with one another, with fellow Christians, in the local congregation, is fairly important. We shall give an account of himself to God. 1 Corinthians 9:22. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. What does he mean in this verse? What's he trying to say in this verse? To the weak I became. All right, excellent. To meet people at their own level. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. What else? Meet them at their own level. Sorry, Jason?
He related to them.
Okay.
They were
so his, what he wanted to do was relate to them.
He became approachable.
Okay, became approachable. Anything else?
There's a term we have in baking called murdering the yeast.
Murdering the yeast, okay.
You get it too hot and you kill the yeast.
Too hot and you kill the yeast.
Too strong and you kill your influence as you go along.
Okay. So if you come on strongly,
or as a know-it-all,
or as a know-it-all,
do you a big favor,
or too weak even, right? You lose your effect, your influence.
I will say in my 61 years, I've seen it work. You know, too strong, too weak.
Okay. Too strong has a negative effect.
Yes.
Coming on too strong. It can. So what... What I think Paul is saying as well is, in some way, we need to make a determination in a certain situation or circumstance on what is needed that we may provide a positive effect and a positive influence on one another, or certainly on others that are outside the congregation, a positive effect. You know, I heard a story about a priest, Catholic priest, that decided that he was going to save everybody on Skid Row. So he lived with them. He drank with them. He took drugs with them. Guess what happened? He was one of them. Guess what the influence was? They influenced him. It wasn't a positive influence that he provided to those on Skid Row. Those that he wanted to make a Catholic in some way, they influenced him in a negative manner. So we know what Paul is saying here to the church at Corinth, but we need to be careful at what level we're going to take ourselves to relate to others. Too strongly, we know that doesn't work. Probably too weak, that probably doesn't work either. But we certainly need to be careful because the influence can be the other way. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example. If you're an example, you're providing an influence, yes. You're providing an effect to the believers in word. What are the believers? Who are the believers? Christians, in conduct, love, spirit, faith, purity. Titus 2:7. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. If we're going to be a positive influence with one another, there's our charge. Wendell Winkler uses the term church, in the local church. I don't really like that term. But he uses it. What other term would, if you can read my mind, what other term would be preferable to church?
Brotherhood.
Brotherhood, okay.
Congregation.
If someone would ask you, where do you go to church? What are they looking for? What kind of response are they expecting? Location, okay. Okay, which they're going to know by location or the name which denomination it might be. What else?
Label,
all right. Looking for a label. To distinguish, okay. So they're looking. The answer you provide is going to be able. They're going to be able to distinguish you from whatever else is out there, right? All right. Anything else? If someone asks you where do you go to church? I mean, what do you normally say? What's your response? Is it Church of Christ? Okay. Anyone say anything differently than that? All right.
Which can get you in trouble, but it can lead to a conversation.
All right.
There is a universal Church of Christ.
Right, there is. Universal Church of Christ.
If, I never want to say, I'm Church of Christ, because I, right then and there, put myself in the lead of the denomination. I have given myself designation. I am Church of Christ. To say that is the same as saying I'm Methodist or Baptist or anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, Roger.
Yes.
I've used the term before. I worship at the Lord's Church. I worship at the Lord's Church that meets in Florida.
Okay.
And that's never good enough. You know, they want clarification.
Right.
You know, they want to dumb you down. They want to put a label on you. As soon as they put a label on you, they can feel good about differentiating you with what they want.
Right. Right.
And, you know, a lot of times that as soon as you say Church of Christ, that just shuts the conversation off.
Right.
Because they have preconceived notions about churches.
Yeah, the difficulty today, especially by just saying Church of Christ, is you're going to shut them down. I mean, that's certainly possible. They're just not going to listen to you after that because they have a preconceived notion of what the Church of Christ is. I think today we probably need to come up with some other response to that. I'm sorry?
You may have had a positive influence
on them. That's a possibility. If you had a positive influence on them, they may want to know where you worship. How about if you said, I attend the New Testament definition of church as a Christian, and we meet in... we meet at the Roanoke Church of Christ, something to that effect, something as was discussed that might actually provoke some other responses. You can think about that. So the old days you're talking about when I was young?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Certainly the connotation of Church of Christ did, I think, just shut people off right away. It's gotten better and easier, certainly. Here are a few things that are important for our influence, for our effective within the brotherhood. Do you need membership? Yeah, you've got to place membership somewhere, right? How about spirituality? If you want to have a positive effect on the brotherhood, do you need spirit? Do you need to be spiritual? Okay, I see a bunch of yeses. How about prayer? Do you need to be one who prays? Do you need to pray? How about attendance? Do you need to be here? Never known too many people that have a positive effect on the brotherhood when they're not here. You kind of need to be here. Well, a positive influence is what I said. Listen. Yeah, listen. Yeah, well, they're pretty nice, aren't they? Yeah, pretty sweet. Okay. Do you need to seek the kingdom first? You need to bear your individual responsibilities? Probably one way that you can have a negative influence on the membership is if you're known to have a talent that you don't use, that could probably be negative. How about be willing and ready to work? Yes. The slightest breeze that ever blew, some slender grass has wavered. The smallest life I ever knew, some other life has favored. We cannot live our lives alone. For other lives we touch are either strengthened by our own or weakened just as much. I'll dismiss us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we can have a Bible study midweek. We're grateful for this assembly. We're grateful for this brotherhood. We're grateful for those of like-minded individuals. We're thankful that we can meet in this country unmolested. We're thankful that we have an influence on one another, and may we, Father, as members of this congregation, assure that the best we can that our influence upon one another is a positive influence. Forgive us when we transgress thy word. We know you will walk with us each day. Help us to pray without ceasing. And as we conduct our lives and earn our living, may we also provide an influence on those in this world that is positive by what we do, what we say, and how we conduct our lives. This we pray through thy Son. Amen.